The subject that has been on my mind this week that I'd like to share with you, the topic I would give it is Christ, the solid rock. In a time that's real valuable to me, in a time where things are not very stable around us, singing of the song that says, change and decay in all around I see. You know, if we look at around us over the past few years of directions our country has taken, we would agree with that song, change and decay in all around I see. But then it doesn't stop there. There's some stability. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And he's willing to do that. I would like to start in Matthew, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've read this story. We've sung songs about this story with the children. But I was thinking about this. It says, starting the 24th verse, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Before we go on with that story, I was just thinking about how valuable this is, not that we just that we heard the sayings of his, but that we do them. And I'd like to go from there, we'll come back to that, but I'd like to look at James in the first chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So this story back in Matthew again in 7th chapter, 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But then it goes on, there's some others involved, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So I was thinking about this story, and this past week when we went to the funeral, we went on down to the Gulf Coast and was walking along the beach there, and it made me think about this story. The one that built on the sand, you know, if you went on dry sand, you could hardly build anything on it. It just moves when you lay a board on it. But I noticed something. When the water comes in and then flows back out, when the sand is wet, I could walk on it and it would hardly make an impression in the sand. It was like it was so packed together. You know, I think I could build a house on that. You could put something in it, it would hold it. But then I noticed something else. If I stood on that sand that felt very solid, and then another wave comes in, it doesn't hardly bother me when it's coming in. But when it started going out, it would draw the sand to where it was almost not even stable to stand up. It would wash the sand right out from under my feet. And so I was thinking of this story right here. Building our house. And we're not so much interested in a literal building. We're thinking about the house that we're building, that we're going to show to God at the end of it. I was thinking of our life. I was thinking of this song. When I started long ago to trust Jesus, I was seeking for security. For I needed something steady to hold to and something that would hold to me. Then it says, I'll keep holding on to Jesus, for no other friend so faithful as he. I'll keep holding on to Jesus, for I know he's holding on to me. And that's in the good times, the times when I feel good, when everything is going well for me, and times when I still have that same assurance when it seems like everything is going the wrong direction. So I was thinking about this rock, Christ the solid rock. I'd like to go to a verse in Isaiah 28 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So I went over to the commentary to read about that. And it says, he that believes that foundation is firm, and that he is secure in trusting in it, shall not make haste. He's not worried when the troubles are coming. He knows it's secure. And then it says to make haste. This idea is derived from one who is alarmed and flees to a place of safety. Have you ever been somewhere where you think, okay, this is safe for this condition, but all of a sudden that condition gets much worse and you realize this is not a safe place? Maybe you've been, it's raining a little bit, and you stand under a tree, and that seems to be good. But then all of a sudden that turns into hail, and you say, I really kind of wish I was at a place with a better roof over my head. So this one is saying, it's derived from one who is alarmed, and he flees to a place of safety. A man on whose house the tempest is beating, and he apprehends that the foundation is insecure, and he leaves it to seek a more safe position. I thought about that with us. You know, we're coming up on tornado season. You ever stayed in your house, it's getting dark and it's starting to storm, and you say, but I believe this will be good enough. But all of a sudden that gets worse to where you hear on the news, it's coming to your area. You have 2 minutes to seek a safe place. You know, at that time, I'm willing to run through the rain outside to get in the storm shelter. I'm ready to make some changes. This may not be stable enough for me. What I'm so thankful for is Christ never changes. He's always just as stable as he was yesterday, no matter the conditions that happen to us. There was another song. In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And when is the time to be sure? It's before the storm comes to us. When we're down in Louisiana as a boy, and a hurricane is coming on. Hurricane is totally different from a tornado in this way to me. They can tell you 3 days ahead, this one is working its way through the Gulf. As it comes closer, they can narrow it down to a little closer area. But you know, they can come down to the point where they can tell you, they know where the eye is now, and they know it's coming into land. You know, I had time for 3 days or whatever to go collect what I needed to in case the power goes out and I don't have water and those kind of things. Some would even in that time, they would take boards and cover up their windows with it. But you know what? The sun was shining when all that was happening. But they were hearing the news, it's coming this way, and they wanted to be prepared. Well, you know, there was a time when the storm hit. There was no carrying plywood. Now I believe I'll try to get my windows boarded up. It's too late then. Then it is just hang on. Well, this one is, in times like these, if you just stop a little bit and look around, in times like these, we need something stable. And Christ is that for us. May we each one run to him. I was thinking about there can be things that cause us to be moved around. Look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of a doctrine, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. You know, there's sometimes something new comes, a new doctrine or new something, and people will follow that. I'm going with that. But he's saying for us to be able to have some stability in us, There's another verse that tells us the importance of that. It's in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. First Peter 5 and 8, if I can get it here. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And it says, the God of all grace, 10th verse, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, sometimes we say, why is the purpose of having trouble in my life? It is to give me some stability. One thing it does is when things are changing all around me and I run to the Lord, I realize nothing's shaking him up. You know, he's not disturbed about the things that are happening in our country. And I can go to him and receive some stability to where I can be established and strengthened and settled. So I was thinking about the foundation that we can build on, which is Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So it's telling us, you know what, there is not another foundation that we can lay. Nothing else that we can build on. Well, we can build on a lot of different foundations, but the only one that will take us through when we breathe our last breath with my desire to make heaven my home is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. And I was thinking of a verse in Matthew 16, when all around, you know, Jesus was very popular for a little bit of time. Then it seemed like everybody was going away from him. But I was looking at this in Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So a lot of people had different thoughts of who Jesus was. You remember some of the people when they heard Jesus, even what he was teaching, and they were amazed at it. What did they see him to be? They said, is this not the carpenter's son? We know his mother. We know his dad. We know his brothers. So they just kind of brought him back down to the level of just a person. So Jesus is asking them, who? And he says, well, some are saying you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So he came on down closer and he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered to him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I was looking at the value of this. What Peter said is more than just what came out of his mouth. The faith, the confidence that we have in who Jesus was. You know, so many people lost that at the time when Jesus was there because they did not recognize him to be the Son of God. You know what? There are many Jews today that still don't see him to have been the Son of God. What would it have been after he died that they're still looking for a Messiah to come? So I was looking at how valuable it was for Peter to be able to recognize this. And I want to look at a verse that tells kind of that value for us. In Hebrews 11 and 6, here's why that was so valuable, I think. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, to us, when we hear what Peter said, we believe the same thing. But what he recognized was with me seeing all the human part of Jesus, I still recognize that you are the Son of God. And by doing that, this verse in Hebrews is letting us know that is more than just a recognition. It's he that cometh to God must believe he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, things change for Peter. Things change for us when we recognize that Christ is the Son of God and can change all the problems that we face in our life. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge that he can help us. In the commentary it says, this knowledge that Christ is the Son of God, it's going to be the foundation that the church is built on. How valuable this knowledge is when there were other people that saw it on this level. Maybe that's as John the Baptist come back. Maybe it's Elias, Elijah, the prophet. But Peter recognized, thou art the Son of God. You know, there are a lot of different religions that have a leader. I see, and you may have seen it also, a bumper sticker on some of the cars that say coexist. It has one word, coexist. And it has all the symbols of different religions. And it has the last letter of coexist, which is a T. Is also, here's one that we put up beside all the rest of them. It's the cross, if you believe in Christ. But so much of this says there's no other foundation that a man can lay but Christ. And we need to realize that. We need to, in the world around us, when it seems like so many don't even recognize that God or Christ exists, may we always see him as a stone that is solid for us to be able to build our lives on. I'd like to take a look at Philippians. Second chapter. This is who Jesus was. Philippians 2 and 7 said he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm so glad it didn't end right there. But it goes on to another verse that says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. There was also a message that Peter gave in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. It was not the one on the day of Pentecost, but there had been a man healed, and it caused the religious leaders to be upset about it. And in 4 and 10, let's look at the ninth verse, 4 and 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. So I think about that verse. Peter is letting them know, this is the stone that you saw to have no value, but it has become the head of the corner. And then he says in the 12th verse, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other way for me to have salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That doesn't hardly work with the bumper sticker that I see that says coexist. This says there's no other way for me to make it but through Christ. And I'm thankful that he is solid no matter how things change around us. There is a verse in Ephesians, the second chapter, because it's true, Christ is the head, but then he's got some that are helping to build the foundation. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore, Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So this looks like the foundation is also being built by the apostles and the prophets. So does this elevate them up? Remember, there are some people that say because Peter had that confession that thou art the Christ, that he became something special. Well, I look at that. There is a verse that tells me that Paul did not see himself elevated, and it was in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. The third chapter and starting in the fourth verse. In this, there were some people in Corinth that started taking a look at a minister and saying, this one is elevated in my eyes. I'm going to follow this person, or somebody else would follow another. And in the fourth verse, he said, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another Apollos, are you not carnal? It says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered. So here's two that are working, but they're way down here compared to, it was God that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. So I was looking at this. Even though there are those that help to build the foundation, Paul did. You know, he went into these Gentile areas where they had no knowledge of God, of Christ, and he built a foundation. But that foundation was not one of his own. It was Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. There is a song, praise God, I live in Beulah land. My house will all the storms withstand. It is not built on sinking sand. My home is on the rock. My home is on the rock, the everlasting rock. I do not fear when storms are near. My home is on the rock. If I can always realize that no matter what is happening around me, whether it's in the government, whether it's on my job, or what it is, there is a stability in Christ that will supersede any of that. As we were driving along the Gulf Coast this time, I saw something that I haven't seen much before. And all of the new homes right along the coast are built on piers, and not just 4 foot off the ground. Most of those that we saw were probably 20-foot piers, and then the house is built on it. Now, there's no telling what the cost had to be able to build a house like that. So I was asking somebody, I said, what was the purpose of that? And they said, well, FEMA finally came. You know, those tornadoes or the hurricanes that come in that area had washed so many of those homes away. And over, they build it back again the same way, and it does it again until FEMA came in and said, we're changing the building codes if you're putting it this close to the coast. You've got to get it up off the ground. Well, you know, they didn't just set that pillar on the sand. They drove that down. I just wonder how far they had to go down through the sand until they could reach something solid. But even though it was elevated that many feet off the ground, those pillars were taken down to where they could fit something solid. I was thinking about with us, what are we building our life on? Is it something that does not have stability, and when the floods come, we're not talking about just water coming. We're talking about troubles when it hits in my life. Will it take away what I have, what I thought was stable? Another verse of a song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, that's what Peter was, the foundation that Peter was laying for the Gentiles, is you can put your trust in God. It's in his blood and righteousness. Then it says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. The thing that seemed like it's the best suited for me, I don't trust in that, but a holy lean on Jesus' name. Another verse of that song was, His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. You know, if today, if everything is going good in our life and it seems like I've got it in control, just remember there'll be some storms come into our life. And if I can realize that at that time, there's Christ, the solid rock that I can be attached to. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, one of the things that can be sinking sand is my own thoughts about things. You remember the verse that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. For me to realize that just through ordinary living, when I feel like, you know what, I've got it under control, I realize what I need. Don't trust in my own ability. So I'd like for us to close with a song. It's number 266. Because it asked me a question. You know, this is not about just if I'm saved or if I'm not saved. Each one of us are building every day. And we can one day be building on the rock. Tomorrow I can take my own thoughts and head in another direction. So I'm thinking about this song here, number 266. Maybe we could sing it together. Are you building on the rock eternal? Are you building on the sinking sand? Are you going to that home supernal in that far, far off happy land? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock or on the sinking sand? Are you building on a strong foundation? Can you stand the stormy sea of life? Mid the surging billows, wild commotion, do you conquer in the raging strife? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock or on the sinking sand? Are you building on a strong foundation with an anchor that will keep the soul living in His love and truth unshaken, grounded firm and deep though billows roll? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock or on the sinking sand? Building on a strong foundation, can you stand the awful judgment shock? Are you grounded in His great salvation, fastened like an anchor to the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock or on the sinking sand? So I was thinking about that. That song applies to each of us today. I was thinking about Job, how fast things changed in his life. What he had built around him, All of us do it. When I go to my job and I work every day and I'm buying a house and I have a car, we have temporal things. It was amazing how Job held that. Those things were probably valuable to him. But as each of those things were taken away, I believe he had built on a rock. He was able at the end of it to say, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What if through my life, I'm putting some money aside for retirement, and I'm just about ready. There have been people that come to my work to go to Merrill Lynch because they have been building on something, and it's not wrong to do it. They had been setting money aside for retirement, and they have now retired. You know, there is a difference if you're putting money in the stock market for retirement. There's a difference between when you're doing that and it goes, the value of it goes up and down, than when you have retired and the money is what you live on every month and the value goes up and down. When we had the big stock market crash, there was a man that came in that had been setting that money aside. He had plans for what he could do with it, and he was very distressed because you could take a look at how it's cut in half. Now it's in fourth. It's fast going to zero. And he went up there to Merrill Lynch to check and see what is it really. And when he left there a couple days later, we heard that he had committed suicide. Well, you know what? Building on the rock is more than just salvation. It's me having a confidence in him. The song that we heard for the special is not about just that I have good things in my life all the time, but that I can realize that he's in control of it and he is well able to take care of it. I am thankful for it. I want to build my life on the rock. I desire your prayers.